live on air, Radiance by Design. We made it. We made it. It's been a long trek through the wires tonight. We're having some cyber shenanigans that we had to deal with. How are all of you? Are you dealing with, I think it's Mercury retrograde, and I think that we're having some communication hiccups here. So I hope that you're going to call in and your hiccups aren't going to interfere with my hiccups, and we're going to have a great time. Talking about hiccups, I think I introduced myself. Hey, this is Veronica talking to you again. I'm going to want your call-ins later, so I hope you're ready with your digital finger. And also, we did a show, Paradigm Shifters, on Tuesday night with Jim Emke, and he is such a brilliant nutritionist. I also went to a lecture of his last night on cancer and nutrition. It was really a mind-blower. But it's sort of neat. I thought that what we ought to talk about a little bit tonight is what feeds us, not necessarily food, but what is it that you and I have ingested in life because of past reactions, because of people that have influenced us, because of fears we have. I talked to somebody recently whose mother had died when she was two, and she's 60 now, and she said, it's funny, there's always that weird kind of frozen place inside as a little wee girl where she just sort of froze and her mother didn't come back. And there's been something like that, so that, interestingly enough, gets fed by, I guess it gets protection and it gets fed by all kinds of tensions and reactions through the years. It also gets fed by drives and ambitions and dreams of a heart and desires of connection. Think about it. And then there's somebody else who was very, very ill as a child and couldn't work and couldn't go to school for a while and couldn't even think straight, even though she'd been a straight-A student. She could no longer think straight, so she lost all that. But that suppressed aspects of her. That stopped a certain kind of flow in her for quite a while. And then it also fed or fueled or left resistances or angers, that sort of thing. So there's tensions in her body, mind, in her nervous system, in her brain patterns. She's overcoming them. But what's interesting to me, not just with her, but with other people, people often use the foods it takes to placate whatever that kind of injury was. So, for example, some people will use like a lot of milk products because it makes them calm and it keeps the pain or the insecurity suppressed. I just thought we'd play with some of that tonight. I'll talk to you about what's going on in you. Sometimes people have terrible injuries and abuse and so on. And people who are sexually abused and don't know it very often have a misshapen belly and pelvic area. Think about it. And it sort of, it talks about how your body is really holding the pattern of what it had ingested as a kid or as a young person. Really interesting. So how do people maintain a not knowing about the sexual abuse they've had? Other people can see it, because you can see it, and also we can experience it in the person withholding themselves or being reactive of people who have had abuse. If you and I've had it, a lot of people I know have had it and worked their way out of it. But if you've had abuse and you're not really looking at it yet, you can see it in people's eyes. You can see it in their body shape. You can see it in how they walk and talk. But the other thing you know is somebody will say, so-and-so is not trustworthy. And I go, yeah, you can trust a person like that. But if a person has unprocessed abuse, you can count on the fact that under a certain kind of duress, they're going to do anything it takes to survive. Anything, because they're going to go into what we call survival. And they're probably overreacting and hateful or bitter, or I don't know, there's a number of ways that you can act as a survivor, right? And that's our body defense being fed by what we eat, what we think, how we breathe, and how we sort of hold our reactions. It's really quite interesting And a lot of that can be dealt with, but it's sometimes the most important thing we can ever do in life is know how we feel, how we really feel. If you have a feeling in there that's really ugly, like, oh, hatred or jealousy, or I always pick up jealousy because people hate to admit that, but we all have it, right? So if you go in and feel the feelings that are trapped inside of you, feel the feelings that rise, you have a really good chance of moving out of your body mind those kinds of blobs of feelings, those kind of programs that prevent you from what? Enthusiastically and joyfully emerging into the world. I was listening. I told you I often listen to Paradigm Shifters, those wonderful interviews. I get to talk to some of the most interesting people. And one of the people, night before last or last night or something, was Dee Wallace. And she was talking about how she knows that she was meant to be joyful and full of beans in her life. And she knows that all of us are. And the way she said it, I think it's joy, love, giving, and enjoying her life and all that. And I'm going, like, well, that sounds fairly clear and simple. But she also expressed how she went through a lot of things in her life where she had to kind of mine her experiences in order to get to the deeper feelings so she could release herself to what she knew was innately herself, which is joyful, expanding character. I loved hearing that. It's really like, so I thought, well, I don't know if I'm like that. And I go, well, yeah, we are. There's that. You look at a little baby, it goes, wow, hi, you got a nice pair of socks. You know, they're happy because you're there. And it's really fascinating. So I go, how many ways do we take life in and create for ourselves defense, suspicion, fear, sensitivity, things that prevent us from being who we are? So we have like a absolute myriad, bazillions of therapists of all kinds that are trying to help us chip ourselves out of the ore of existence, right? And I really believe what Dee Wallace was saying was also that we do have this amazing joyfulness within. The other thing I believe is that we have our dharma. We have a soul journey. You came into this life for a purpose. I came into this life for a purpose. And sometimes all that reactive stuff that we have ingested and we've laid it carefully throughout our beingness prevents us from seeing our own purpose really clearly. Or sometimes it means that to be, your purpose can be rising and demanding to be felt or to be experienced, right? And it can be, and you have to push your way through the layers and layers of self-identification that you've worn as you go through your life. It's really interesting. So back to Jim MK and his brilliance about diet and nutrition and so on. I love that, and I really love the way we can link all of that to our emotional nutrition, if you will. How we take things in, and unless we can see it, unless we can help ourselves recognize it so we can release it, we're kind of layered with a whole bunch of old, leftover food. And the food is the food of thought and feeling and reaction and social hoo-ha media stuff that kind of lays layer after layer after layer of fear on us. I often think, and I think you probably do too, it keeps us kind of smaller. You know how I always like to talk about Calhoun, and he talked about how he had that great vision when he first busted out from being an Anglican priest and into being a shaman, the Anglican priest shaman. And he said that he just saw all these people that were stoop-shouldered, people that were kind of hunching under the power of the elite. And what they didn't realize, and this is one of his biggest things, was what they didn't realize is that we are so powerful. And I kind of go back into this thing of, yeah, and if we start pulling up the feelings that are way down deep inside of us, like, oh, not enough, or people like me never get to do that, or I don't dare want to be a performer because people will think I want too much attention. I mean, there's a lot of junk like that in there, right? I'm terrible at math, just like my dad was terrible at math, just like my, you know. And I want to be a good person. A good person sits on her hands and doesn't say anything untoward. I mean, you know, it gets really complicated how we have woven this incredible number of resistances to being all we can be. And I love talking to various teachers on the path, because they really all have a different take on essentially the same thing. If you can connect with your own dharma, with your own soul's journey, and if you follow those feelings of loneliness way inside and touch a deeper level of yourself, the fulfillment is tremendous, but so is the power. Jim Enke was talking about how when he first got into nutritional fasting and so on, I think he was talking in great detail about having an enema, but in any case, he didn't want to do the enema. He was 22, and he thought that was gross. But what happened after he completed this cleansing process, he had energy running through his body like mad. He changed and changed and changed mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's like part of the same thing. I get really excited and go, wow, we have to get in there and find more and more of ourselves that have been hiding behind reactions. Years ago, I was writing an article, and we called it garbage can lids, putting little lid on you here, a little lid on you there, a little lid on you there. The way you describe your identity, it was like you're hiding behind all these lids while we're pulling them off bit by bit. Or climb inside your body and notice where you put in, oh, I don't know, foods that placate your emotions, or tensions that you hold so that you'll be safe, or places. I have a good friend, and we were talking about her. She's just a really powerful woman, and she kowtows or gets smaller around male authority. And it's amazing, and I watched her belly. We were chatting on the phone doing a reading, and I was watching her belly, which restrained, held itself way back and made a huge kind of a cavernous gap in there when we were talking about her interaction with some males who were, in quotes, her superiors, or that she was working for on a contract basis. And it was fascinating watching what happened with her legs, her ankle, especially the right ankle, her belly. What has she fed her body? Is that I cannot be present in that whole subconscious area. I cannot be present in my feminine organs. I cannot be present in the supportive quality of my legs. I'm very weak there. I have to look fragile so they'll think I'm okay. I mean, it's really fascinating. What fed her that kind of material was that her father wasn't a very strong man, so she tried to stay under him so that he would feel better. It's very interesting. And she's a dynamic, oh my goodness, an artist, a brilliant singer, dancer, a million things. But that whole rapport with what is authority or what is male, maybe we'll do that exercise today. But it's a really powerful exercise where you literally can feel in your own body how you can retract your body, how you can tense up, or you can densify certain organs and energy flows in the face of specific, what we would call them, threats, like maybe just a woman who's afraid of the male authority, something simple like that, that is archetypal, it's not specific to the occasion. And then if you can get in touch with those feelings of fear in yourself, well, hot diggity, boy, oh boy, all you have to do is feel them, and you can get them out. They will move, but you have to become conscious of it. So I like us to talk about what's been feeding you. And I certainly hope you guys are going to call in tonight. I like that better. So let's do our collective, our meditation. Are you ready for that? A few breaths. We need a few breaths. Breathing's important. See, that's another thing. We've done those kinds of interviews with people who do breathing for healing, and it's so amazing. For example, my friend is a brilliant artist who keeps herself smaller around authoritative males. Breathing techniques would work really well for her because you go into the belly area and you release the tensions and the holdings deep down in your organs. And it's like, wow, it's sort of like surgery. After a while, you feel very euphoric and you feel very possible. So anyway, let's take a couple of deep breaths. Here we go. And let's call in above your head about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop that filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Say you're skewered. So drop from the upper golden ball to about waist height, four-sided gold pyramid. Now push the base of the pyramid out so you've got room to build more structure. And then upside down, meeting at base to base, and this one pointing into the lower golden ball is another golden pyramid. Now you got 2 pyramids, one sticking up, one sticking down, and there you are with a skewered by a wonderful filament of gold light running from the upper golden ball to the lower. Thanks for calling. I hope you don't mind waiting online for a few minutes. And inside of that, you do a crystal ball. And inside of that, you do a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And inside of that, there you are. And get it spinning and spinning and spinning. And now the first thing we do as we're spinning and spinning and spinning is we see this magical screen in front of us. In the first part of the screen, you're going to create a movie of you becoming what it is you want to become. Good. What is it you want to become? I want to become consciously multidimensional. What do you want? And see yourself becoming whatever it is. And as you do, wrap it in light and move it over to the left. And now we're creating our second screen. And on that screen, you're going to create the details of a project you want to create, whether it's home and family, a house, a world trip, a book, a movie, whatever it is you want to create. Good. And see all the resources, the people, the time, the moolah, anything you need to create your project all comes together. Great. And then when it comes together successfully, you go, woohoo! And then from there, you spend a little time again on more money, more resources come for you to sustain your project. Excellent. Excellent. And you're so enthusiastic. Can't you feel the courage in your chest? Wrap it in light. Move it over to the side and let it keep perking. And now let's create the Galactic Healing Center. And you and I have a wonderful, wonderful group of beings around us. But we're going to ask out of that group, we're asking for the healing beings to stand around the table that's in our healing center. Good. And then I want you to jump on that table. You can fly onto the table. You can step gingerly on the table, or you can step confidently on the table. Go up there and tell them what it is you would like to work on. Yeah. You're going to, what would you like to work on? And then ask them if they've got, if you don't know what you want them to work on, ask them what you need to work on. But if you've told them what you want them to work on, ask them if they've got any ideas about what it is. That's good. Now just keep feeling the energy as it moves through your body and mind. And then wrap that in light. When you think that's going well, wrap it in light. Move yourself over to the left. Have a fresh healing table. And the healing team can replicate themselves, so have them do that. And now we're going to bring in some different people. I'm going to bring in a young woman who's got candida, and it's really driving her crazy. And this young woman is, she's a character. And she's decided she has candida, so she's going to start working on changing her diet to see what feeds that and how to change it. And she's absolutely panicking because it's going to require a huge, huge change, quantum leap in her whole diet and lifestyle. We're going to have her come in, and we're going to have her lie on the table. Okay. And we're asking, the team knows exactly what to do. They're going to work on her brain. Now, this is very interesting to me because they're working on her brain pattern, you know, the old program. And they're also working on her spine, all the way down her spine. They're tapping all the way down her spinal. Not really tapping because they don't show to have fingers, if you know what I mean. But they're tapping energy all the way down her spine. All the way down her spine. And they're saying that her vital fluids are kind of sluggish. I don't quite know what that means physiologically, but they're saying she's very sluggish that way. And they're working with that. And now they're getting her to turn over. And they're tapping on her belly area. And one of the things they're showing... No, this is very interesting. Because I can think of another client who's got another version of this different. Talk about what feeds you. So they're saying that on a soul level, this young lady has a kind of a power and a kind of a bitterness. She has two things. She has a kind of a naive enthusiasm. Remember what we were talking about with Dee Wallace? She has an enthusiasm and a joyful attitude to life, but she also has a kind of a cynical bitterness about people. But it didn't come just from this life. It came from a little series of lives. And I feel the pressure in her chest as a result. She's had some huge deceptions and so has a kind of a distinct mistrust of people. And they're saying that that candida is exacerbated or increased by a victim feeling. There we go. And in this lifetime, it's not so much that she's victim, but she has her dukes up, you know? She has her fists clenched, you know, a certain way. Not obviously, you wouldn't say that when you meet her. But she has a resistance to people being in her life or bothering her or whatever. Because she just doesn't trust. So they're saying to her, there we go. They're showing her how the compatibility of her soul's drive, her dharma, to find the joy and also to give tremendous service. She's got a huge knot of tremendous service in her soul's journey. So they're working with her in many different ways. Now, she probably is not listening to the show, so I'm going to find out later if she feels any different experience. I'll have to call around tomorrow and see if I can track her down. Because sometimes when we do this sort of thing on the air, people call me and say, boy, I really felt that. Okay, one more time. We're going to go. They're working with her one more time, and they're kind of telling her things. Who's on your table? You probably have somebody different. What's going on there? Remember to tie in the attitude with whatever is the physical. Good. Okay, now we're bringing in somebody who's got a lot of aches and pains, actually. This person, she's too thin, far too thin, and has had some really difficult emotional and physical stresses through surgeries and so on, and losses. Emotional stresses through being very much, I would say, disappointed. And financial stresses, because part of it goes just even with the physical, you know, having a lot of physical problems. So we're seeing her. We're going to go into the chakra system there. And her guides, the guides are standing around the table and working with her her base chakra. That's really interesting. They're trying to redden it or brighten it up. There we go. And they're trying to appease a very deep kind of an old... She, in another life, has, in more than one life, she's been a spiritual teacher in a very strong fashion. But in several other lives, she's been one who's been... I guess I would say... starved. One of these lifetimes was in a caste system in India, And one of these lifetimes was a lifetime where she was in it's a very cold Northern Europe life where she was ostracized somehow. I can feel the cold in her fingers and her body. She froze to death in that lifetime. Very, very thin. Yeah. And very, very pained emotionally. There's a great deal of reluctance for this one to actually have an easy, sort of like the first young lady, is the kind of is reluctance to have an easy trust of people. She tries and has the intellect for it, but deep in the heart, there's a doubt or a mistrust of people. We're perking up that red chakra, and we want to see, I just want to see that finances just flooding to this person who is a tremendous giver of work and support for other people. So let's wrap that one in light, and let's see if we can call in a man at this point. Now, here comes a man. I don't think I know you at all, but you are a character. I see this fellow coming in, and he's really angry. He's really, really, really angry. I can see him just blustery. His face is all red, and he's come in to lie on the table. He's not sure what he thinks of it, but he's so frustrated with his life, and his heart is pounding. His heart feels very badly. He's lost. Okay, all right. So what he's got, remember we talked about how we ingest life and how it feeds, and he's got right in his pelvic area and in his heart, he's holding back. But it's like an implosion going on in him. I'm not even sure exactly why, but the team is working away on him already. They're using some major pressure points in his back, just below the angel wings, or just in toward the spine. And they're using a great deal of energy to release, there we go, to release some of the pressure and tension in him. And they're saying that a lot of it is from childhood and from they're calling it missed beats. It's as if he made some very big plans in life. He's in his 50s now. He made some big plans in life, and nothing has ever worked for him. He seems to be riding the waves of systems that are breaking down, and he's angry. And last year, his wife left him, and it was almost too much for him to bear. But she had to leave because he was so angry all the time. There we go. But we're having him on the table there. It's kind of appeasing him. Looks like a lot of the stress and tension of his rage that's been boiling up in him is moving, and his belly is moving. Thanks for having the courage to come. I know this is right out of your normal routine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's wrap him in light and send him over to the side where the team will work on him in private. Then our team, of course, replicates themselves again around a fresh table, and this one's going to be our political table. What would you like to talk about politically? I'm thinking that maybe we'll just do the Fukushima again. Yeah, let's bring in that. I know there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of hiding of the truth of things there. So let's just put it on the table and let the team sort out what's really going on and see if we can help neutralize. I am such a believer, if you change the energy, you can change the reality. So let's ask the healing team to really buoy up the possibilities of this all being healed, not just healed. As soon as I said healed, the word transformed, we need to transcend this devastating, disappointing, tragic influence on the planet. See if we can transcend it, raise our fields and frequencies, Mother Earth as well, and move up and out of the, there we are, the dangerous qualities. I remember with Lynn McTaggart, and she was doing all that research all over the world on the intention experiment, and she was saying at the end of it all that intentions have a huge impact on viruses and bacteria. The intention to transform these things have a huge amount. It's been proven in labs that you can literally change those things, vibrate them at a higher level, and change their toxic reaction. I'm going, well, why can't we do that with the drought? Why can't we bring in rain? Why can't we vibe, and why can't we raise the fields and frequency of making the radiation quality much more healing instead of more damaging? Why can't we do that? So we're asking the healing team about that, and they are doing a whole lot of work over there. Apparently, there's a ton of other dimensional beings over there working like mad, because their intention is not to interfere, but they will come in and support when we're bleeding, if it will. So let's wrap that in light and move it over to the side, knowing that with our prayers and our focus and our intention, we could keep directing healing energy. And now let's take a minute and draw in from the universal energy flows some of the greatest downloads that are going on. Remember that the big centers out there are the God consciousness centers, and have the light come down through the top of your head. You can call it in using your mind as a sculpting tool. Let the light come in through the top of your head, whirl around and round in your head and your neck and your shoulders and your heart, and then come back up and shoot down your arms. And now I want your hands to radiate this wonderful light as you pat parts of our globe. Wherever you know there's people that are sick, or there's tragedies on the planet, or a train blew up, or there's wars, these incredible situations in Syria and Afghanistan and Iran and Korea, wherever, pick a place, America, hello. And pat all the places you know that are in incredible pain. Come on. We can transform all that. We have to learn. What is it we have to learn? We have to learn to love. We have to learn to love all of one another and life. And yeah. All right. And have that energy. Wherever people are really poor, that's right, where they're being deceived, where the food's being poisoned, all over the world, pat, 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 until the world is radiating this amazing kind of apricot-y gold light. That's it. And the light goes round and round and round the earth, comes up through the hands, up the arms, up through the elbows, through the shoulders. Good. Whirls around in your neck, pops out through the top of your head, out into the great central sun. And then it pops back down, shoots through your head, your spine, your feet, right into the core of the earth, and pops back up again. It's wonderful, isn't it, to think that all the people on the whole earth are actually, like flowers, we're able to receive, consciously learn, or even unconsciously, receive the vibrations that are coming in from way out there. We're like a big garden, aren't we? Isn't it beautiful? And when we consciously bring them through, we can evolve. Think of what Peter Calhoun talked about in other people. We can consciously evolve and really empower ourselves. So now let's come back and turn around and shut off the Galactic Healing Center. Jump into your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Good. I always get so dizzy when I do that. And then we want to talk to our wonderful caller, and I sure hope you're still awaiting there, are you?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm still here. Hi,
I'm so glad you are.
Hi,
what's your name?
Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. Gosh, I was just looking at your name today.
Oh, all right.
How are you? How can we help you?
Well, I'm better than I've been, but... what I could use a little help with tonight, are you still there?
I sure am.
Oh, good. I was in Idaho with my daughter for 2 years and helped her there, moved her to her college situation, got her apartment set up. Then I needed to kind of like go somewhere and camp out until I could figure things out. So I came to Ocean City, Maryland, because it was easy.
Right.
Winter rental, and I was hoping to work on a book, which I've been doing, and I've been going to a couple writing classes, and that's been nice, but I'm anxious now, and I don't know if it's because there's something I should stay here to go through, or, you know, I'm anxious for lots of reasons, but, you know, work hasn't been available here because it's winter and it's like, you know, ghost town, but I understood that when I got here.
Why did you choose Ocean City?
It was easy. My sister had a condo here, but I didn't want to stay at her place because it's a higher price tag emotionally to stay there. So I chose a rental close by her place that was very inexpensive. And that's worked out, but pretty soon it's going to be in season and I won't be able to stay here. So it's time to, shortly, like sometime in April, to either leave this condo or leave Ocean City. And so I guess confusion is, do I look for another rental here? Do I go someplace else?
Well, and so your kids are all pretty much independent now, are they?
Pretty much. I would have to say yes. I mean, there's a little bit of hiccups here and there, but I would have to say yes.
So you have to say you did a great job, Miss Cynthia.
Well, thank you.
Well, we need a little bit of compliment here and there, don't we? I'm going to fuel your courage. I feel that you're going to be moving, and you're going... Now, you're in Maryland, which is you're right by the coast. So I know that for a while you were in, was it Wisconsin? Was it Chicago? Where was it?
Yeah, I was in Wisconsin for 2 years, and then I was in Asheville, North Carolina for 2 years.
You wouldn't go back to, would you go back to Wisconsin?
I guess I have a limited mindset in going back, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know you can't go back, but you can always return. But I could, but I have to tell you, this winter has been so cold, I just don't think so.
No. Well, here's what I see. There's some kind of work. It's not apprenticeship. It's like it's a work which has a, an internship or something with it, and then you start to work, and it looks like it's inland in the country. And it seems to be a training of sorts. It might be in the healing world, but it looks like it's tangent to the professional medical world, you know? Are you interested in doing healing? I know you wanted to do media, but you also have a healer's consciousness, too. You know that.
Yeah. I haven't thought about it in the medical term as much as I've thought about it more in a supportive role or a coach of some sort for anyone that needs some direction, like I've been needing, but I seem to be able to help a lot of other people get off the platform and get things happening for themselves, but it seems to be a challenge for myself.
Well, I think you're going to be working with people, and it seems like you get some kind of certification, and you get it through like an internship, rather than just going to school and it costs you a fortune. It looks like you'll be able to work as you go sort of thing. And it looks like it's in the middle of the country and you will go there. You wouldn't prefer to be there, but you'll go there in order to get launched. And I feel like there's some opportunities through, are you in a disability thing? Are there some kind of trainings offered somewhere? Are you on a pension or a disability thing?
I'm on a nothing.
You're on a nothing.
I'm on a nothing.
Are you skinny as a rail now?
I'm thin, but I wouldn't know if I'm skinny, but I'm thin.
I'm kind of teasing you because it's been hard for you. I know it has. But I think things are going to
start getting
a lot easier.
Are they going to get easier? I mean, I don't know. I came here thinking I was going to write a book and I had my head in the clouds about that could possibly generate something for me, but now I'm kind of more grounded and that could maybe happen at some point, but I can't put all my eggs in that basket. And I feel like I eventually want to get back to California, but I just can't afford to do that yet. So I kind of want to work my way back there. I just don't know where the next place is to go from here and for how long.
Well, it seems like you're going to be beckoned. Who do you know? You know several people in a town that's a little farther into the middle of the country, and it seems like there's an opportunity. One of them runs I think it's a medically related business of some sort. Do you know who that is? Whether it's a pharmaceutical or I don't think he's a doctor. I think he's more like a, I don't know, but he's related to the medical world. And it seems like there's three or four of them, and they know you are not invited. It's like you seem to beat the bushes about people that you kind of know looking for a job. And you're a good worker. Somebody needs to hire you because you're a good worker, aren't you?
Yes.
So who do you know in the country? I think you need to sit and make a list. Who do you know?
I do. I don't really know. I don't know anybody in the middle of the country. That's what's a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have three friends still that I can, you know, talk to in Milwaukee, but none of them are in the medical field. And Milwaukee to me is like the north, not necessarily the center. But I can't off the top of my head at this moment think of anybody that I know.
So here's where we reach out with our mind and we say to the universe, okay, you show me, because it looks like there's some steps coming to you, and you will have to, I feel like you'll have to have a little training. I don't think you're going to mind that. As long as it gives you a job you can stand, so, because you're going to write your book much easier when you have a job.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think this kind of flapping around is a little hard for you, isn't it?
It's hard, and on one juncture, I'm okay with, you know, going from place to place for a little while because I'm meeting some wonderful people, but I'm almost ready just to kind of, like, stop moving around, and consciously, I want to be back in California, but maybe there's something that I am not paying attention to.
Well, Cynthia, I don't really see you rushing off to California.
Okay.
I just don't think I don't think it's the time yet.
That's fine.
Is your mom still living?
My mom is still living, and being in this area that I'm in, it's only about 3 hours from her, and I've seen her a few times, and being here has gotten me in the middle of some crazy family of origin drama that is just distracting me from what I need to do for me. I get pulled into the family drama a lot, and I don't want to be.
Yeah, because I think you need to get away from there. But it's going to come to you. It is going to come to you, but you'll be reaching out. You'll be banging the bushes a little bit. But I think that when you have the opportunity to take a little course that gives you, it's a little program. Are you already a coach? You were studying coaching for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a certified life coach.
Okay, so could this be an addendum or an extra? Like, so are you making money as a coach?
Am I doing what as a coach? I'm not doing anything with it. I mean, it's
okay.
Just been, I got certified after I lost the Mission Ranch and after I lost Ling Chao and after I lost my house. I felt like I needed to do something, so I spent a little bit of money that I had left to get certified, but I didn't ever market myself, and I didn't ever do anything with it.
Well, honey, here's what I'm seeing, is it could actually just be a little extra certification that bumps up the nature of this. I don't worry about the people so much. Just look into that kind of possibility, because it seems like the looking into it is kind of leading you to a little group of people in which you can establish a business. So I think I would do something like that. Because you need to get away from where you are. You need to come into your own. You see, it's been a while since you've been into your own, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, it's time. And it's going to happen over this next year.
Okay.
And you're going to feel better. You look better than you have for a long time, apparently. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. I feel good. Yeah, I feel like I look good. Yeah, actually, yeah, I feel like I look younger than I did 5 years ago, if that makes any sense. I'm 60.
Yeah. Well, you have different things on your plate. They're not as desperate as they were. And you're going to glide a little more easily through this section.
Okay.
Anyway, I should probably go here, but I'm really delighted to talk to you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm just glad you checked in. And so may you have wind under your wings, my friend.
Thanks, Veronica.
Thank you, honey. Take care. So call in with your questions, you guys, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking about what fuels you. Now, that was a call from Cynthia, who had some tremendous losses and then got caught up with helping all her kids establish themselves, and oh my goodness, she's had all kinds of things. But there's two things that have gone on there, and there are with you and me as well, where we hold reactions, we hold doubts about ourselves, we get tired, I think, is what we want to say. But the other thing that's happening is she is carving out inside of herself, just like you are and I am. We have the potential to carve out in ourselves a new kind of self-awareness that then brings us into the world with a different potential. And that's what's happening, and it takes a lot of courage and a lot of, I suppose, inspiration to go forward like that. You just can't be fueled by self-doubt. Now I'm going to take another look at somebody else out there since you're not calling in. I'm going to take a look at, let me see. Oh, I see a little group here. Okay, so here's a couple. Oh, my goodness. I don't normally do it this way. But anyway, there's a couple here, and they're not getting along at all. And it's really interesting. And I want to say that this is true for a lot of us in relationships, eh? That this couple is not getting along very well. And one of the reasons is, or we should say all of the reasons are, that they have piled up some inner reactions because of things that have happened and challenged them for the last 10 or 15 years. And so now they're looking at each other in a very defensive way. I'm glad that you called in. Now I don't have to finish this story about the couple. I'm just kidding. I don't mind finishing it. But you're on the air. I'd rather talk to you. Hello.
Hi, this is Carol from Kansas.
Hey, Carol, I'm glad to talk to you. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. The question I have is on your last guest that talked about nutrition. And he was talking about cancer being related to the placenta.
Yeah, wasn't that interesting?
I don't quite understand that, do you?
Well, he was talking about tumors. If I can get this straight, because it was kind of intricate, but he was talking about tumors. When they opened up the tumor, they found that the cells are made up of placenta. And what was the other thing? Bob's helping me with this. Yeah, it's something about the placenta grows, and like in a fetus, the placenta is cut off by a certain enzyme, and that's because it's time for it not to be placenta anymore, and then the pancreas of the fetus begins to grow instead. And he's saying that in the tumor, the placenta keeps growing.
Oh, and it never gets cut off by that enzyme?
Well, Bob's confusing me here. He says that the enzyme, and I don't think I can explain this very well. It is intriguing, though, that it's...
I didn't understand it.
Well, it's like a kind of a movement of cells that are supposed to generate growth, but they've shifted, and so they're generating growth in the wrong way. So the placenta is generating the fetus, as you know, but in this case, placenta cells are growing, and they're generating a kind of growth when they shouldn't be, as far as I can figure out.
But how does the placenta get into the, you know, the other cells to grow? I mean,
well, it has a lot to do with our hormonal base, and I don't actually understand it, so I'd have to go back to school to figure out what nurse he was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of the
curious
cell types that's in the tumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, they can use that information to change the way the tumor is being developed. I think that's on the cutting edge.
I see.
Yeah, the enzyme will determine the tumor growth, but I still don't quite understand when the enzyme comes in or doesn't come in, so I'm not exactly knowledgeable enough. But his name is Jim Emke, so we you can re-listen to that podcast, or we're going to have him on again in a couple of weeks.
Great.
He's very, very intelligent, and he talked a lot. Last night I was at his lecture, and he talked a lot about cancer and the kinds of things that have happened. One of the things that's so intriguing about his work or any of the nutritional stuff is that there are these waves of change in societies, and then the diseases are things that we all have in common, or many, many people have in common, and that's what cancer is doing right now. You know, it's sort of a reflection of our society, isn't it?
I was on a call, and somebody said that cancer manifests in people that don't set boundaries.
Well, I don't know. You think that's true?
Yeah, I don't either.
See, what I don't know, but the understanding I have of the cancer profile is people who suppress themselves and sublimate anger and resistance and resentment, that sort of thing, you know? It's like a holding back.
Most of us suffer from that, so, you know, I just wonder why that manifests in some people that are that way and not others.
Because you and I know this. There's propensities that we've inherited or on a cellular level that we have. You know, it's pretty difficult to know exactly what it is, but there tends to be personality profiles of certain kinds of illnesses. So, you know, and they're always loose. So I don't know if it's boundarylessness or not. I hadn't thought about that. I think of it as withholding or suppressing or, you know, because the suppression, if you think about it, cells kind of go berserk when they're under pressure all the time, right?
Yeah.
Plus our foods. Foods don't support transforming that and back to, you know, what feeds us. How do we relax the suppression? We could eat it into relaxation, you know. You spend, I know Carol's been on the show before, and you spend a lot of time discovering what's holding in you. You don't just let it happen. You know, you spend a lot of time learning about what's making you tick. And that's very helpful. I think that prevents a whole lot of things. You've already got enough pain, but I mean, it can prevent that incredible suppression, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So I have to go now, Carol, because it's getting late.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you called in, and we'll find out more about the tumors, the cancer tumors, when MC is on again, and that should be in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Good night. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. For those of you who haven't checked out my podcast, I was listening recently to one by Dave DeLuca, who was really talking about, you remember the Bhagavad Gita guy, Holly? And he wrote the Bhagavad Gita so that you and I understand it, 8,000 years old that it is. Well, DeLuca has been working on presenting the Vedas, Vedanta, from way back when. And oh my gosh, I was listening to this interview, which took place, I think, 2 years ago. So I want it back up. It's coming back up on my list of podcasts, and I really recommend that you listen to it. It's those two discussions or interviews are really such good source material on the consciousness that we're trying to establish within ourselves in order to empower ourselves. They're ancient texts, but oh my gosh, they're all about oneness, all about blessing the self, about finding your inner divinity, about working with your jealousy and your repressions. Anyway, I have to go, but check my website, veronicaentwistle.com, and make a comment about guests, suggestions for guests, any feedback you want, or if you want to have a session with me and my guides and angels, I'd love to work with you. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Good night and many, many blessings.